42. The Death of Saint Joseph. 5th February 1944, 1:30 p.m. This vision appears to me imperiously, while I am busy correcting the copy book, and precisely the dictation on pseudo-religions of present days. I will write it as I see it. I see the inside of a carpenter's workshop. It looks as if two of the walls are formed by rocks, as if the builders had taken advantage of natural grottos converting them into rooms of a house. Here the northern and western walls are indeed the rocky ones, whereas the other two walls, the southern and eastern ones, are plastered, just like ours. On the northern side, in the recess of the rock, they have built a rustic fireplace, on which there is a little pot with some paint or glue, I do not know exactly which. The wall there is so black that it seems to be covered with tar, because of the firewood which has been burnt there for many years. A hole in the wall, with a big large tile on top of it, takes the place of a chimney for letting out the smoke. But it must have performed its duty very badly, because the other walls have also been blackened by the smoke, and even now there is a smoky mist all over the room. Jesus is working at a large carpentry bench. He is planing some boards which he then rests against the wall behind him. He then takes a kind of stool, clamped on two sides by a vise, he frees it from the vise, and he looks to see whether the job is perfect. He examines it from every angle, he then goes to the chimney, takes the little pot and stirs the contents with a little stick or brush. I am not sure, I can only see the part protruding from the pot, and which is like a little stick. Jesus is wearing a rather short tunic, the color of which is dark hazelnut. The sleeves are rolled up to his elbows, and he is wearing a kind of apron on which he wipes his fingers, after touching the little pot. He is by himself. He works diligently, but peacefully. No abrupt or impatient movement. He is precise, and constant in his work. Nothing annoys him, neither a knot in the wood which will not be planed, nor a screwdriver. I think it is a screwdriver, which falls twice from the bench, nor the smoke floating in the room which must irritate his eyes. Now and again he raises his head, and looks towards the southern wall, where there is a closed door, and he listens. At a certain moment he opens a door which is on the eastern side, and opens onto the road, and he looks out. I can see a small portion of the dusty little road. He seems to be waiting for someone. He then goes back to his work. He is not sad, but very serious. He closes the door again, and goes back to work. While he is busy making something, which I think is part of a wheel, his mother comes in. She comes in by the southern door. She rushes towards Jesus. She is dressed in dark blue and is bareheaded. Her simple tunic is held tight at her waist by a cord of the same color. She is worried when she calls her son, and leans with both her hands on his arm in an attitude of prayer and sorrow. Jesus caresses her, passing his arm over her shoulder and comforts her. He leaves his work, takes his apron off, and goes out with her. I suppose you would like to know the exact words they said. Very few were spoken by Mary. Oh, Jesus, come, come. He is very ill. They are uttered with trembling lips, and tears shining in her reddened and tired eyes. Jesus says only,
Mother.
But that word means everything. They go into the adjoining room, full of bright sunshine coming from a door open onto the little kitchen garden, which is also full of light and green, and where doves are fluttering around near the clothes hanging out to dry, and blowing in the wind. The room is poor but tidy. There is a low bed, covered with small mattresses. I say mattresses, because they are thick and soft things, but the bed is not like ours, dot on it leaning on many cushions. There is Joseph. He is dying. It is obvious from the livid paleness of his face, his lifeless eyes, his panting chest, and the total relaxation of all his body. Mary goes to his left hand side, takes his wrinkled hand now livid near its nails, rubs it, caresses it, kisses it. She dries with a small piece of cloth the perspiration that forms shiny lines at his temples. She wipes a glassy tear in the corner of his eye. She moistens his lips with a piece of linen dipped into a liquid which I think is white wine. Jesus goes to his right hand side. He lifts quickly and carefully the body which has sunk. He straightens him onto the cushions which he then adjusts together with Mary. He caresses the forehead of the dying man and endeavors to encourage him. Mary is weeping softly, without any noise, but she is weeping. Her large tears run down her pale cheeks, right down to her dark blue dress, and they look like bright sapphires. Joseph recovers somewhat, and stares at Jesus. He takes his hand, as if he wanted to say something, and also to receive strength, for the last trial, from the divine contact. Jesus bends over that hand and kisses it. Joseph smiles. He then turns round, and with his eyes he looks for Mary and smiles also at her. Mary kneels down near the bed endeavoring to smile. But she does not succeed, and she bends her head. Joseph lays his hand on her head with a chaste caress that looks like a blessing. Only the fluttering and cooing of the doves, the rustling of the leaves, the warbling of the water, can be heard outside, and the breathing of the dying man in the room. Jesus goes round the bed, takes a stool and makes Mary sit on it, once again calling her simply Mother. Dottie then goes back to his place, and takes Joseph's hand into his own once again. The scene is so real, that I can't help crying, because of Mary's pain. Then Jesus, bending over the dying man, whispers a psalm. I know it is a psalm, but just now I cannot tell which one. It begins thus.
Look after me, O Lord, because I hoped in you in favor of his friends who live on this earth. He has accomplished all my wishes in a wonderful way. I will bless the Lord who is my advisor. The Lord is always before me. He is on my right-hand side, that I may not fall. Therefore my heart exults and my tongue rejoices, and also my body will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon my soul in the dwelling place of the dead, neither will you allow your friend to see corruption. You will reveal the path of light to me, and will fill me with joy showing me your face.
Joseph cheers up a little, and with a more lively look he smiles at Jesus and presses his fingers. Jesus replies to the smile with a smile of his own, and to the pressure on his fingers with a caress. And still bending over his putative father, he goes on softly.
How I love your tabernacles, O Lord! My soul yearns, and pines for the courts of the Lord. Also the sparrow has found a home, and the little dove a nest for its young. I am longing for your altars, Lord. Happy those who live in your house, happy the man who finds his strength in you. He inspired into his heart the ascents from the valley of tears to the chosen place. O Lord, hear my prayer, O God. Turn your eyes and look at the face of your anointed.
Joseph, sobbing, looks at Jesus and makes an effort to speak, as if to bless him. But he cannot. He obviously understands, but has an impediment in his speech. But he is happy, and looks at his Jesus with liveliness and trust. Jesus goes on.
O Lord. You have favored your own country, you brought back the captives of Jacob. Show us, O Lord, your mercy and bring us back your Savior. I want to listen to what the Lord is saying to me. He will certainly speak of peace to his people for his friends, and for those who convert their hearts to him. Yes, his saving help is near and the glory will live in our country. Love and loyalty have now met, righteousness and peace have now embraced. Loyalty reaches up from the earth and righteousness leans down from heaven. Yes, the Lord himself bestows happiness and our soil gives its harvest. Righteousness will always precede him, and will leave its footprints on the path.